Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Hour number two begins right now. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit us up there, 251-343-0106, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Joining us now, she's a candidate for Secretary of State. We got to know her a little bit during this last election cycle when she ran for Congress, but Caroline Dobson joins us here on the line. Caroline, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on this morning. We always appreciate your time. Well, I will start here. How's the campaign going? Talk a little bit about it.
Yes, no. I'm grateful again to get to have the opportunity to hopefully serve the good people of our great state. And so it's just truly been a blessing to get to visit, you know, instead of just focusing in Congressional District 2, which, as you and I know, those boundary lines were drawn for one reason and one reason only, and were a little arbitrary. It's great to get to campaign throughout the state and just listen to voters, listen to their concerns, learn about opportunities, about needs, and I'm very grateful in the past couple of weeks to have also received some really meaningful endorsements. Found out last week I was endorsed by the Alabama Farmers Federation, as well as Manufacture Alabama, Forestry Association. So really excited to have received the support of groups that I respect tremendously because of their membership, because of the farmers in Henry County, the plant workers in Washington County, folks that really care about the future of this state. And the reality is, you know, the elections next year, we're going to kind of have a blank slate, except for young Boozer. He's the only returning state official. So this election is really pivotal when it comes to the direction of our state for the next 8 years and for decades to come. And so it's important that we have leadership that we can trust. And so that's why I'm trying to get my message out that I am running to be a state Secretary of State that the people of Alabama can look to advocate for free and fair elections and also for a better economy for this state, for small business owners and for big businesses alike, to ensure that that we're attracting, we're competitive in attracting companies to locate here, to headquarter here, but also making it easy and easier, affordable, more accessible for small businesses to start up, to operate. Because small businesses, both my parents are small business owners. I've spent my career as a corporate attorney advising small businesses. These businesses make up the backbone of our economy. And so I think we certainly need focus on how we can reduce these, streamline services, and make it easier for our small businesses to operate.
Well, let's go back to one of your, I think, one of the more pivotal endorsements here for the Alabama Farmers Federation. And I'm eager to hear this. You know, you really got to go talk to these guys in all 67 counties. They meet, you get to talk to them. They all kind of gather in one place for the when they decide who they're going to endorse. But typically, that's a really big deal. It really can make or break a race for some guys, but you are more on the receiving end there.
Yes, no, I'm. It's a huge honor. I'm tremendously grateful, and I witnessed firsthand. Last year, I was endorsed by the Farmers Federation in my congressional race. Truly, the impact of that endorsement. It's not an endorsement that's, you know, made by lobbyists in Montgomery sitting around a boardroom table. It's the decisions of individual counties based on their interaction with the candidate. And so again, it's just been, it's truly been a wonderful experience getting to travel to all 67 counties and meet with the people who ensure our food security, who make sure that our economy, I mean, data was released last year that agriculture and timber together that have a $77 billion impact annually on the Alabama economy. So these are the true drivers of our economies. And, you know, as a product of rural Alabama myself, I think it's very important that candidates in this race and in all the races don't just focus on the metro and urban areas. Again, it's so important, of course, to know the needs and opportunities in our cities, but there are a lot of resources, there are a lot of opportunities in our rural areas, and particularly with respect to this office, there has been a history of voter fraud in a lot of these kind of more rural, off the beaten path locations in the state, and they have a huge impact on those communities and our state as a whole. You know, I think they're truly there's a ceiling on the greatness that, for instance, Tuscaloosa County can achieve if you've got Hale County and Greene County right beside them, same Lee County, and then you've got Macon County. You know, it's so important that our state doesn't just develop as a checkerboard, and we have counties with good leadership, and then counties where there's election fraud, there's corruption, and there's elected officials who aren't being accountable when it comes to stewardship of our natural resources and stewardship also of taxpayer dollars. I mean, I think some of your listeners may have seen, in Greene County, the sheriff was embezzling $5 million from bingo proceeds. So, that's just an example of the fact that we cannot ignore rural Alabama. And if I have the opportunity to be the next Secretary of State, there will be no race that I consider too small or too inconsequential to be prosecuting election fraud.
Well, and the other component of this, and I think the fraud is still probably exist within the state, but just working out some of the kinks in our elections, we still haven't fully got a handle on that. We saw that in the Mobile mayoral election. Mm-hmm. And, that there's still work to be done with our own sort of apparatus that we have in this state, it seems like.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is fraud taking place that we need to prosecute. And that's why I want to form an election integrity team within the Office of Secretary of State. So there are dedicated employees who are investigating and following up on these claims. But also, yes, there are some real logistical challenges, especially with respect to municipal elections. On a county by county basis, it varies as to, if the municipality is renting machines from the county because, probate judges do not administer municipal elections. But yet, a lot of city clerks, especially smaller municipalities, heavily rely on the probate judge and their team, not only for use of machines, but for training. And then you end up with issues like the inactive voter status and the Mobile mayor's runoff, where, again, that race was really close. And you don't need active voters, being shown as inactive. And again, certainly we need to be vigilant in our voter rolls as well to ensure that anyone who's not currently a resident, not currently living, and is not a U.S. citizen is not voting. So my goal as the next Secretary of State is to ensure that your vote, if you are an Alabama resident U.S. citizen that has legally registered to vote, that your vote counts, but equally that anyone who has not registered, is not a resident, is not a citizen, that we're not counting the vote and they're not appearing on the rolls, because anyone who is allowed to vote who shouldn't be disenfranchises the voices of all of us. So, when it comes to voter roll maintenance, to investigating fraud, claims of fraud, but then also logistics, it's important that we really try to troubleshoot all of these areas. I've also heard from voters in municipal races that there's a lot of confusion about where they go to vote. So making that information more accessible, especially kind of coming on the heels of a presidential election. I heard from a couple of voters who, get off work at 6:00. They want to go vote in the municipal election, they drive to where they voted in November, kind of without thinking, just sort of autopilot, get there. That's not the precinct for their municipal race. By the time they find out where they need to go, it's 7:05, they've missed their opportunity to vote. These are people that are engaged, and they are, you know, generally informed. I think the average person on the streets here in Alabama would not be expected to know that municipal elections are administered in a way separate from presidential and county and state elections. And so we need to do a better job of ensuring that we are informing engaged voters where they need to go, and making it more accessible for them to find out where they need to go on election day.
This came up in the last cycle in 22, and, you know, as a function of the Secretary of State's office. Do low turnout numbers, is that something that's on the radar if you were Secretary of State?
Yes, you know, it's very concerning that we seem to have so much apathy and lack of engagement. But I think we, as Republicans, have this real opportunity, and that's why I was grateful to get to join the Mobile County Republican Executive Committee on Monday night. Huge crowd, and again, I think we have this opportunity, especially in the wake of the Charlie Kirk tragedy, to really try to utilize this awareness, increased awareness and desire to be engaged. Just the number of turning point chapters that have sprung up throughout the state. When I was running for Congress last year, Troy University was in the district, and you know, I wanted to engage with the college Republicans there. Well, I was told that, you know, it's generally a center, right of center student body. You know, they didn't use any dollars for any sort of DEI programming, and so there just really wasn't an active college Republican club. Which I thought, well, if the student body population is right of center, then there absolutely should be an active Republican club, but there wasn't a presence. Well, I heard just last week that a Turning Point chapter has been started there. At their first event, they had 400 students. So yeah, we're seeing this huge shift in awareness and realization, especially among young people, that this is the country they're inheriting. This is the country they'll be buying their first home in, raising their children in, and they really need to be engaged, and they need to participate. And so I think it's really important that we not waste this moment when it comes to continuing to engage young people. Same with conservative women, too. You know, I think the wool has been pulled from the eyes of women. The Democrat Party is not the party advancing women's rights. They're killing our unborn. They're trying to put boys in our locker rooms and on girls' athletic teams. And so they're actually anti-woman, but it's imperative that conservative women get out there, be visible, invite friends to their Republican Women's Club or the Republican Executive Committee meeting. And on that note, I'm speaking at Azalea City Republican Women tomorrow night in Mobile. So if anyone listening is a member, please come and please bring a friend. But it's really on our shoulders to take this moment and utilize it and try to get people more activated and more engaged.
And, you know, getting people more engaged, you've been out on the trail, the campaign trail, and I think there's a certain, you could kind of feel it. There's a change underway in the wake of the Charlie Kirk tragedy.
Yes, yes. And I think that change was kind of percolating before when you saw so many municipal races. I mean, contested municipal races, challengers for city council, for mayor, kind of throughout the state, no matter how large or small the municipality. You know, there was contested mayor's races in Alexander City, for instance, and also in Pineapple, Alabama, which is a population of about 100. You know, so you kind of saw that percolating even before the death of Charlie Kirk, but that has certainly been exacerbated. And so, again, with so many offices open next year, there's really an opportunity to engage with voters and let them know that they really play a role in selecting our next slate of leadership. And again, you know, I've heard from some, oh, wow, you know, you're already on the trail. It's, the primary is not until May. But I think it's so important, especially with so many races, to take the time to invest with voters, to listen to them. And also, again, as it was last year in my congressional race, again, this time around as well, it's imperative to me that I not ignore any corner of the state, because the voter in Beatrice, Alabama, is just as important to me as the voter in Midtown Mobile. We're together moving this state forward, and so it's very important that we have someone that's going to be advocating for the needs and opportunities of all of our state. And the reality is a third of the residents of our state live outside of municipal boundaries, which is really high when you think about it. And so, again, that's why I'm so grateful to have the endorsement of the Farmers Federation, and why I will continue to campaign everywhere in cities and crossroads too.
We'll get you out of here on this. Folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Yes, please check out our website, DobsonForAlabama.com. We're also on social media, Dobson for Alabama. And again, would invite and encourage you to attend Azalea City Republican Women tomorrow evening. If you don't have plans, then and also we'll be in and out of Mobile frequently over the course of the next 8 months. But grateful for the opportunity, and always grateful for your voice and for the station.
Carolyn, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks.
All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.